Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to Just Films and That. This is the podcast that celebrates films we reckon might be underrated, underappreciated, just those films that you think might deserve a little bit more love. I'm your host for this week, Alice Oliver. With me, as always, is Josh Hallam, and it was his turn to pick the film this week, and he went with Kindergarten Cop from 1990. So let's get straight to it. So then, Josh, how are you doing this week? How are you feeling?
I'm all right. I've got a bit of a headache.
Oh no, a headache. It might be a tumour.
It's not a tumour.
Hey! That was just for you, listeners.
It's a quote in the film, easy pickings. Yeah. You're eating everybody's lunches. It's, you know, there's loads of them, Alice. We could do them all. Let's just do that for half an hour.
It could be the full episode, couldn't it?
Yeah, it could. And that's what the people want, apparently. But no, I'm very well, thank you. Thank you very much for everyone for listening at home. Just a quick one before we get started. If you want a little bit of extra content from us, if you want access a day early, ad-free episodes, extended episodes, all that sort of stuff, head on over to patreon.com/justfilmsandthat and you'll find us there. A little bit of stuff, all tiers start at £1 and then work up from there. And they all include ad-free extended episodes, which you will get a day early. Anyway, Alice, Kindergarten Cop.
Kindergarten Cop. So you chose this one, Josh. It's from 1990, listeners. So spoiler warnings if you haven't seen it. So, do tell us, Josh, what is Kindergarten Cop about and why did you pick it?
It is a meditation on the Russian Revolution through the eyes. It's very complex. No, Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's a big cop. He's a big Austrian cop. He's big, he's buff. He's also on the hunt for a drug dealer who he thinks is hunting down his wife and child who went into sort of hiding in a small town where he goes to try and find out where the mother is because he doesn't know who, and in the meantime has to pose as a kindergarten teacher at the same time. And do you know what, Alice? Comedy ensues.
It sure does.
So that is what it's about. Why did I pick it? Okay, well, a few reasons. We've done, I believe, although I'm famously have gotten this wrong many times, we've done two Arnie films before, which is True Lies and Terminator 2.
Okay, are we sure?
I think so.
And
I
just thought, those two.
Okay. I thought, well, let's see the other side of Arnie, which is the comedy side. So I picked this because of that reason. Also, as far as I was aware, right, and I don't know if you'll have this perception as well, but this was, in my mind, a fairly beloved family comedy. Would you agree? Is that how you feel about it?
So it was, I was sort of on the fence with this because just to give you some backstory, this was very, very popular in my house growing up. We had, you know, we didn't have the VHS. We had it recorded off the telly. It did say Kindergarten Cop on the tape. So we got the name right and we loved it. And it's also on my list. So it's been on my list as well because I thought maybe it was underrated. But what I thought was that maybe it was a bit too silly,
right?
And that maybe, like, you know, when you look back in your mind without actually watching a film, but you try and remember your memories about it, how you felt about it, and what you could sort of think about it. And I thought, oh yeah, it's a bit of fun, but it's probably not a very good film in terms of how it's made, how it's constructed, cinematic techniques, and all that sort of thing. So I was a bit on the fence about it.
Right.
Obviously, because this was on my list already, I have already seen the critical reception.
Right, okay,
I can't remember exactly what it was, because this has been on my list for ages. Mm. So I would have checked the critical reception a long time ago. So I will still guess, but if I get it bang on, that's probably a little bit of cheating.
Why.
Because it's in there somewhere. It's in my brain somewhere, right? So I was a bit on the fence about it. But when you picked it, I was so excited.
Yeah.
I was so excited. Yeah. We loved this when I was a kid. I loved it when I was a kid. I hadn't seen it since I've been an adult. So I was just fascinated to go back and watch it.
So, yeah. So I picked it then because I thought it was a fairly beloved family film. And like you've touched on there, it's pretty poorly rated. It's not like, it's not like, you know, it's not like Speed 2 or whatever, but it's pretty, it's not as highly rated as I think. So I think it's underrated. Before we go on as well, can you tell me something has happened this week that also happened last week? There's a massive coincidence.
Okay.
But what is the similarity between this week's film and last week's film, which was Ghostbusters?
The similarity is, oh God, I'm so bad at this. The similarity, is there an anniversary? He's doing the charades. He's doing charades at me, listeners. He's trying to help me along.
Who's the boss on a film?
The director. Okay. What, so, has the director done something?
Have it's they the just same director. So the same director of Ghostbusters directed Kindergarten Cop, which I did not know when I picked it. But yeah,
well,
Ivan Reitman.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we've got two of Ivan Reitman's films back to back. But Ivan Reitman directed this and Ghostbusters. So, and also, if you look, at one point, Arnie goes into Dominic's room and he's got Ghostbusters bedding.
I did notice that. Yeah. I was like, that's funny, because we've just been watching Ghostbusters.
Just selling that bedding.
So was this... Is this the first time you're seeing this in like years, or have you got this on regular rotation?
No, it's not like a. It's not like a. It's not a tumor. No, it's not. It's not. It's not something that like I watch religiously. Okay. But no, I must. It's been a good few years, maybe 5, 6. I don't know, but while since I've watched this.
But you have seen it since you were an adult.
Yeah, and it's not one I've seen millions and millions of times. It wasn't a big one in my house. It wasn't not a big one or anything like that. But it was. I've probably seen this maybe 2 or 3 times before.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting. So I thought you were like me and that it was just like a big deal in your house when you were a kid. So did you see it for the first time when you were a kid? Or were you a bit older?
Yeah, yeah. So I must have, obviously when it came out because I'd be too young, but I must have seen it when I was like 7 or 8, something like that. So I did see it when I was a kid and I've seen it since. You know, it's one of those films that's quite often on telly. It is one of those, that's what I mean. I thought it was a classic family film.
Right.
I thought it was up there with other classic family films, but the ratings say otherwise. So I was really interested to go back and watch it with a more critical eye. But obviously, you have seen it much more than me. So
yes, but only as a child. And I've never seen it as an adult. Yeah.
Just a couple of adults talking about Kindergarten Cop then.
Yeah.
A couple of actual human grown-ups.
All right, so let's get to it then. So tell me your general consensus first and then get into the meat of why you liked it.
I think it's brilliant.
Do you?
I think this film is brilliant. I think it is almost pitch perfect in terms of a family film.
Mm-hmm.
It may play a little young, which is why I make, like you say, I wonder if it plays more towards the Beethoven end in terms of the comedy than like a Pixar or something like that. But I disagree with that. I just think that might be the perception, like you say, of that. Oh, this is silly. Do you know what I mean? Rather than there's jokes in there for the adults. Well, there is jokes in there for the adults, which we'll come on to. But no, I thought the main strength of this film for me is the use of genre, audience expectation and structure. So I think I'm right in thinking this was possibly the first, not the first comedy Arnold Schwarzenegger did, but the first more family orientated comedy he did. But I might be wrong. Either way, point still stands that it plays on that expectation. So it's an Arnold Schwarzenegger film. So we get what we expect from an Arnold Schwarzenegger film in terms of the action, the one-liners, the cheesiness, particularly at the start. And then when the plot kicks in, it completely swivels. So in terms of like, at first it's all grey and brown and it's in LA and it's, you know, it's gritty and he's a cop on the edge and all that. And then before you know it, we're in a kindergarten classroom. It's colourful. There's kids everywhere and, you know, and that sort of stuff. And that's when it really pivots into comedy. And it sounds really probably daft to say, and I'm stating the obvious here, but a big Austrian bodybuilder looking after kids just works really well for comedy.
It sure does. It sure does.
And it's self-aware. You know, when you read the trivia for this, it's like, oh, it was offered to this person, it was offered to this person. It ain't working half as well if it's not Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's just not. If that's Bill Murray or Eddie Murphy, or, you know, I think half of the funniness is the fact that it's Arnold Schwarzenegger. So I love that. It is a family film. It's got heartwarming bits, particularly with the kids. And it's got, like, that idea of, you know, punch in the air moments and things like that. You know, the bit where he hits the dad is like Arnold's version of catching Thor's hammer in Endgame. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? You hit the kid, I hit you. I was like, yeah, I honestly, this part of me was thought, honestly, when he hits the dad, every time I think, take him apart.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just tell the kids to leave the room, and I want to watch Arnold Schwarzenegger just take this guy apart for like absolutely. 10 minutes, breaking every bone. Mm-hmm. As he goes along. Sorry, that went a bit dark there. But yeah, it's funny in different ways as well. So, you know, the turns of the kids are great. Like, they use kids really well in this. There's only one kid that actually really has to do any real acting, which is Dominic, who is mm-hmm. great in this. He's played by two twin boys. But the other kids are pretty much just being kids. Mm-hmm. It's like there's no script. Do you know what I mean? There's just, apparently there's bits where, you know, they ask them what their dads do for a job, and apparently that's not scripted. They just said what their dad does.
Oh, that's
so
cute.
So like the whole that's my dad sits cute. At home and watches TV mm-hmm. because obviously you don't see what your dad does for a job. So mm-hmm. what you see your dad doing is sitting watching TV when he gets home from work or whatever. There's good sort of, you know, it's a fish out of water story, so that's funny as well in terms of Arnold Schwarzenegger being, again, big Austrian bodybuilder. But then you've got the physical comedy as well and that sort of stuff. There's some great lines in there as well, particularly mm-hmm. from Phoebe O'Hara, who's his partner. I think she's like a really great supporting character, lots of snappy lines. All the lines that everyone knows, it's not a tumor, you're eating everybody's lunches, all that. Who's your daddy and what does he do?
I'm not a policeman, I'm a princess.
All that stuff. The one that makes me laugh, and I'd forgotten about it, is Mommy's Not Married.
Yeah, he's not married,
he's not married, Mom. I just like proper cracks me up. So
yeah.
I just, the use of genre is brilliant. Love the fact that actually it's quite a good detective story
mm-hmm.
because he goes and he has to essentially find out who Cullen Crisp, the villain's ex-wife and the mother of his kid is. And he thinks it might be this person, does a bit of digging, mm-hmm. it's not. And he goes through that once or twice before he realizes who it is.
So I've got to just chime in with that, right?
Because, go on. Sorry, I've waffled them.
No, it's okay. So there's a few things about this film that I only noticed for the first time this time around, right? And this will give you listeners a bit of insight into how fucking dense I can be, right? You know when he's saying, who is your daddy or what does he do? Yeah. And asking, oh, how many of you were born in Astoria? Or how many of you were born in California and all this? I didn't realize that's him trying to figure out who the kid is.
and who's got
the dad. I thought it was just like, oh, yeah, you know, that's what you ask primary school kid or, you know, kindergarten kids.
Well, I suppose it is as well. Like, we all had the whole thing of, like, what does your dad do and
sure,
and
exactly,
all,
right,
all
exactly.
That.
And I just never, ever put two and two together. I was like, oh, he's just being, you know, that's just all he knows.
Just being
like,
a kindergarten teacher.
Yeah, exactly. And I only noticed it this time around. I was like, oh, my God. But, yeah. No, carry on, please. No, do.
Well, let's give you a chance to say something because I've waffled on there for like 10 minutes. So what about, you know, I've got a few other bits, but they're probably touching on some of the things that you've put as well. So what else? What do you, watching this again as a grown up with a critical eye and for a podcast recording, what did you like about it?
So in general, I think it is just a well-made film. Like, I had some reservations, like I said.
I completely agree.
It is, though, isn't it? It's actually good. It's a good film. I had some reservations about going in, like I said, because I thought, what is this going to be like? Is it going to be unbearable? Is it only good in my memory? That sort of thing. But I genuinely thought it was just so much better than it has any right to be. I think we've got some pretty good performances here across the board, and it's like this part was written for Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Mm.
Like, it just suits him down to a T because of all
feels
the baggage.
Feels like it is, isn't it?
100%. And because of all the baggage he comes with Terminator and the more action hero-y stuff, to have him in that environment is just amusing
in itself.
Yeah,
it's just fish out of water. It's just funny.
Yeah, the most extreme version of it. I think it strikes the balance of drama and comedy really well. I think the script is pretty decent. All the kids are doing such a great job. And the end is like traumatic and dramatic. And then at times we also see this really tender and sentimental side of Arnie that we just don't usually see, right? So I'll go into a bit more detail about a couple of these things, but there was a lot. There was a lot that I liked about this, right?
Okay.
I'm going to start with the story and the concept. So it is just really good. I think that for some families, this is a great family film. And it's interesting what you said there about you thinking it plays to the younger side. But I think the opposite. Obviously, you've got the kids in kindergarten who are very young, and that will appeal to the younger kids in a family.
So,
but
I'll just correct myself, actually. I didn't mean it plays younger. I think the perception is that it plays younger.
The perception
so I think
younger.
People think, oh, God, it's just silly. It's with kids. He's with little kids, so it's silly.
Yeah.
I don't think it is playing. I think it's a little bit muddled, which we'll come back to. But sorry, go on.
No, I completely see what you mean. But then when you think about like the end sequence, especially like that shootout in the school, that's traumatic. Like that's dark. And there's a few other moments as well when Arnie's being the cop that are pretty dark as well. And people getting murdered. Like
addiction deals with addiction.
Addiction, yeah. And you know, the drug dealer sort of cartel and that in LA and gun violence and all that.
90s ponytails,
yeah. Which big, just no child should ever suits. Have to endure.
Big, massive 90s suits. That you think.
Massive suits.
The uniforms in the World Wars were lighter than that.
Yeah. Yeah, good, funny Chris with his fashion sense. But with all that, I think there is enough of the lighter stuff going on and the humour with the kids. And because of the humour with the kids, it never gets too dark. And I think there's another two key things that are at play here that really help this along. And the first is that Arnie just seems and feels like an unstoppable force. Like if he's on your side, then you're all good. So because he wants to keep this kid safe and keep Joyce safe, you genuinely just feel like he is going to keep them safe and that the peril is never really that extreme because you don't question his ability to do his job. So you just know that, oh, everything will obviously turn out right in the end because Arnie's on their side.
Because look at him.
Exactly. And then the other thing is, and I think we'll touch on this a little bit more in the dislikes as well because I've got a bit more context for this, but the villains are almost one-dimensional. They're almost one-dimensional. Crisp and his mum, they are a little bit sort of Disney-esque, like we are just the bad guys.
Particularly the mum.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
She's basically a wicked witch, isn't she?
Well, I think Phoebe calls her Cruella at one point as well or something.
She does, yeah.
So I think because of that, because they are a bit like that, then it makes it a bit more child-friendly in that regard because it's like, oh, you just need to stop the bad guys and that's all there is to it. Moving on from that, so I really like John Kimball's character development and I like the relationships that he forges with the people around him, whether that's with Rachel or Joyce, the kids, the other teachers at the school and Phoebe. He gets them to like him without truly having to compromise who he is, even though he is undercover. So he's pretending to be a teacher, but he still feels very much like he's being John Kimball. The only thing that he's sort of fibbing about is his actual identity, but it never feels like he's lying about his personality.
So never all the uses relationships, a fake name either.
Which is weird. I do find that a bit weird when you're going undercover.
At one point, he's so Austrian, he makes his American partner pretend to be Austrian.
Yeah, no, she does that of her own accord.
She does, yeah.
Because she doesn't want to cock block him. So nope. She says that she's his sister. Because they're meant
to
be husband and wife.
Trying to bang one of
wife.
The kids' dad, their mums. Yeah, it's fine.
Well, they insinuate that they're meant to be undercover as husband and wife at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then she reads that situation with Joyce. And she's like, I am his sister. I thought, good, that is fucking good wingman
and
in that.
He's actually Austrian.
Yeah.
No, in other Arnie films, like, here's Jake, all-American FBI agent. Whereas in this, he's just like, I'm from Austria.
He says he's from Austria, yeah. Yeah, and they're in Austria. So that confused me a bit when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So I really like the character. I think all his relationships feel really genuine, feel really real. And the development of them, I think, is really interesting and is really engaging. And the script around all that is very successful. I think the kid, so Dominic or Colin Jr., is an excellent piece of casting. So he looks like Crisp. And I completely believe that that kid is the product of Joyce and Crisp.
Twins,
and I think
isn't
that really
it?
Helps.
Two boys.
I know, yeah. And I think that really helps with the immersion. And he isn't a bad actor at all, considering how young he must be.
I know,
in that.
Yeah. No, they're
and
great,
just finally.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
So the climax of the film, like I've touched on this. So the fire in the school and then the subsequent shootout between Phoebe and John and Crisp and his mum is unbelievably tense. It's violent and it's traumatizing. Crisp turns his gun on his own son at one point, and that's the level that his obsession has taken him. And it's not just traumatizing for Dominic and the other kids, but Crisp's mum walks into the school, she walks past some lockers and is greeted with the sight of her dead son slumped up against the wall. And the film has established...
In a big suit with a ponytail?
Exactly. So you know it's him. There's, you know, there's no mistake in identity here.
Yeah, well, it can only be him in the 90s, couldn't it?
And the film has already established that they have this very close and kind of weird, maybe a little bit abusive and intense relationship with one another. And even though she's one of the villains of the story, I think you really feel that moment with her. Like at the end of the day, in that moment, she is just a mother who is so obsessed with family, looking at her dead son. And because there is so much light and laughter and joy in the rest of the film, the whole sequence just feels unbelievably brutal. But I do think it works, and I don't think it feels misplaced or it doesn't stand out in a negative way at all.
Yeah, I completely agree. I actually think the guy, so Richard Tyson plays Cullen Crisp, and I actually think he's really good in this. I've only seen him in one other thing, which is he's got a very brief role in There's Something About Mary.
Really?
But I think he's really good in this because I think the villains are a bit one-dimensional, but I think he brings him to life quite interestingly. Sort of what he's doing seems to be motivated by love for his little boy, right? So it's quite interesting because he is a villain. Obviously, he's a horrible guy with a ponytail and a big 90s suit. But his whole plan, there's no plan of like, there's a sort of hint that he actually wants his ex-wife and son because she nicked $1 million off him.
$3 million.
But actually, she didn't. He just wants his to see his son. So I quite liked his performance. I thought he brought some quite interesting vulnerability to him towards the end, which I really liked. So, and you know, he's got a ponytail and a big 90s suit. Is there anything else for you? Anything else?
That's it for me. I mean, there's loads of other things, but those are the main things I wanted to get out there. All right, then, so we'll move on now then to talking about anything we didn't like about the film or perhaps anything we would change. And we are level-headed, balanced people here on this podcast. So I do think there is going to be a discussion here, but it'll be interesting to hear what Josh has to say. So go on. What are you thinking with this?
So I've got 3 points with sort of 2 bigger points and 1 little point. Do you want to hear the little point first or the 2 bigger points?
No, go big and then we'll wind down.
So the two big ones. So first of all, and I suspect you might have at least one of these on yours, but you might not, you never know. I think there's a similar issue to Ghostbusters in this. We've already touched on it a little bit in that there's a bit where they blur the lines of who's this for.
Mm-hmm.
So there are bits in it where there's a bit of a sex scene where he walks in on his partner and her fiance. There's bits where you clearly see drugs and drug use, not mm-hmm. explicitly, but you see it changing hands and stuff like that. And I think you can probably skirt around those issues without it taking anything away from the story. He could have walked in on O'Hara and her partner doing something else. So they could have made a joke where it sounds like they're getting down to it, but when he walks in, they're eating a lovely big pizza. Do you know what I mean?
Which is kind of almost what it was, because she had a bowl of pasta, didn't she? But then they were naked.
Yeah, also. It doesn't need to be. So,
yeah.
And, you know, no, I've not got kids, but knowing that sort of thing, it's like kids are going to go, what are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if they're just clothes and it's the same joke, it doesn't take anything away from it. Equally, the stuff with the victim, it doesn't need to show the drug exchange or anything like that. It's clear that she's a vulnerable person.
Yeah, by the way, we see her dead body as well, don't we?
Yeah, and we see that as well. And there is a bit of violence in it, but I don't think the violence in it, you know, would that violence in this bother me when I was like 8? No, don't think so. So I don't think that's neither here nor there. Equally as well, there's obviously a bit of abuse, touched upon with one of the kids and his dad, mm-hmm. particularly his dad, but I think it might be both parents. But I don't think that needed to be taken out, because I actually think it's probably quite important to put stuff like that in a film if kids mm-hmm. are going to watch it. But yeah, the sexier scene, the drug scene, it wasn't needed. And I think if you take them out, that's the only thing for me with the family, you know, that detracts it away from being purely almost a pitch perfect family film.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing as well is that I think there's an unnecessary love story
with
Joyce and Kimball. I just don't think they needed to get together. I think that they could have. It's nice that it has a happy ending, but I feel like the love story between them is a little bit tacked on.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, you know, does he stay and become a real kindergarten teacher? Does he go back mm-hmm. to LA? If so, how does that work? Because Crisps is dead at the end, but you know, it doesn't mean his associates aren't going to know who she is. And also, it's put out there that Crisps said to everyone, oh, she's got millions of dollars of my money, so she'd still be a target. So he's not going to live up there after with her in LA, is he? So
yeah,
I just thought I'm probably waffling too much about the intricacies of the real world implications of kindergarten cop. I thought those were a bit tacked on. The little thing as well is, I suppose he does sort of intimidate the witness. Which is a bit like, well, I know he does it for the greater good and it's to save mm-hmm. a kid and all that, but it doesn't need to be. Mm-hmm. That's it for me. I think the main issue, the love story and the witness thing I've mentioned there, you know, maybe they're here nor there. Family films do tend to have, you know, then they kiss at the end and they walk off mm-hmm. into the sunset sort of thing. But it's the molding, the blurring of the lines in terms of the genre and who it's for me. I just think it could have got around that. And I do think, would I have asked my parents awkward questions about this if I watched it when I was 7 or 8? Yeah, mm-hmm. I would. But it must be a PG or a U. So
I mean, it's got to at least be a PG. But see people getting shot.
Shot. But that is it from me. What about you?
Yeah. So I touched on our villains a little bit earlier, and there were times where it felt like they were just a bit one-dimensional. Like, they are just the bad guys. They are mean and evil and only out for themselves and have no redeemable qualities, it seems. But like I also said, there are some indications that Crisp's mum was in some way abusive to him, like when he mentions that she used to give him way too much medicine and basically try and shield him from too much sickness or harm.
Mm.
So the relationship there is odd. And sometimes you may be able to understand why Crisp is the way he is. But I think maybe we just needed a bit more to them. Like maybe just one more layer of motivation or personality so that they aren't just the bad people. However, because the film, like you say, I'm really pleased that you call it a family film, because that is what I thought going in. And I think if you are keeping it as a family film, then having the bad characters be like that does make a little bit more sense. that they are just like these Disney-esque villains. Here are very clearly the bad guys. Here are very clearly the good guys. So I sort of get it, but I, as an adult viewer, probably could have done with a little bit more from them.
Yeah.
So following on from what you said about the love story that's kind of shoehorned in there a little bit. So I really don't love that John kisses Joyce when she is at a moment of extreme vulnerability. Like, she has just found out that Crisp is on the way. Dominic has gone missing literally moments before. So it feels like a real abuse of power on his part. And I think it would have been much better if the first time they had kissed was at the very end, after he's got out of the hospital and he goes back to the school. And
does he sort of do it to calm her down?
I don't know, because she is calm by that point, because it's after, obviously, we see her being very panicky because Dominic's gone missing. They come back to the house, Dominic goes to bed, and they're having this moment and they kiss. And I'm like, that's not cool. Like, she's so vulnerable.
And I suppose if it is a family film as well, it's a bit of a weird thing to teach kids as well.
Absolutely. And it felt a bit unnecessary. The thing is as well, when he's established at the beginning, he's not like a great guy, is he?
No.
Like, he's a bit of a dirty cop. He doesn't play by the rules and all this sort of thing. He's got a beard and his sunglasses and his trench coat.
Yeah, he's got a trench coat.
So, you know, so all the signs were there.
So what about instead of kissing her to cheer her up, gives her a cuddle with the ferret?
That could work. I mean, it worked with the kids.
It probably would work with a distressed adult.
Absolutely.
I know your son's gone missing and your murdering, drug-dealing ex-husband's on the way. Would you like to cuddle this ferret?
Have you seen my ferret?
Yeah.
I would.
What's his name? Don't know. We never say.
Yeah, it's just the ferret, isn't it?
It's just the ferret.
So I could have done without that. It's a bit of an abuse of power. Wasn't great. And the other thing is, so John and Phoebe have loads of conversations about really sensitive information in very public and crowded places. So they're on the plane, they're in the restaurant, they're on the street. And I know that we as the audience are asked to suspend our disbelief when we enter the magical world of cinema. But it just really stuck out for me. And the thing that you said about them just using their real names. Just using their real names all the time when they're undercover.
That pretty massive guy there who doesn't like he got any experience with kids. Have you checked if he is actually a kindergarten teacher?
Probably fine, right?
I suppose there's no Google, is there? It's 1990, so you're not going to be like, oh, look at this guy. He's been in front of the press for murdering witnesses or intimidating witnesses or whatever. Sorry, one final thing anyway.
It's just, so obviously, shout out to the mother of the child who likes to play with dolls, who thinks that being a pervert is better than being a feminine boy who likes to play with dolls. She's in my dislikes as well. She was in Casper.
It's the villain from Casper, isn't it? Kathy Moriarty. I just think the answer to that is
1990. 90s. It's the 90s,
isn't
it? It's the 90s. Boys do not play with dolls.
Yeah. Yeah, what are you, not a real man?
I know, yeah. So could
pick up this gun and go to the army.
It just really, stood out. It was like, outdated.
It's before Billy Elliot. Everything changed after that. It's fine. We can be belly dancers if we want.
So we'll move on now then to talking about the critical reception. And we'll see if we think that Kindergarten Cop is underrated. So, long, long time ago, when I put this film on my list, I did look at the critical reception because I thought, could Kindergarten Cop be underrated? I saw the scores and obviously I thought, yes. So it's probably getting, I'm going to say overall it got like a high five,
okay,
like a 59 or a 5.9. What would I give it? I mean, I think this is getting at least a 7.
Yeah, for me, this is an 8.
Wow.
I think this is just such a great family film. And I'll say out there, if you do like this film and you listen to this, brace yourself for this next bit. I think this is atrocious. I think this is we've had worse rated films than this, right? But I think based on what I think of the film versus the average score, I think this is pretty atrocious. So
okay, go on, hit me with
you reckon high five, but you get a 7. That's what we're saying. And I'm saying I give it an 8. Right. So at the time of recording over on IMDb, this is the best of the scores. It gets 6.3. So, you know, it's not massively bad. And if that was it across the board, I'd think, you know, it's still underrated, but it's not that bad. But over on Rotten Tomatoes, And the biggest shock for me is the similarity between these two scores, because normally there's a big disparity in this, but the critics give it 53%.
Ooh, okay.
Let's give it a Brucey bonus. Do the audience give it higher or lower? Higher or lower than 53? Higher or lower? Higher or lower?
I've got to go lower because you're doing them second. I've got to go lower because you're doing them second.
That's what she done well. The audience give it 52%.
Oh, wow.
So that averages out at 56%.
Okay.
So that is even 3% lower than what you think it got, and you think that would be underrated.
Yeah.
It's underrated, that, isn't it? Come on.
I think it is. This is really fascinating. It's almost like people just looked at the DVD cover, or DVD, sorry, VHS cover, or the poster.
The cinema and poster.
Thought, oh, Arnie, you know, the Terminator in school. Nah, that's just going to be stupid. Without actually paying attention to the different things that have made this film, like the script, the performances, the story, the concept, all the things that are actually genuinely good about it.
And am I right in thinking this is before Terminator 2, aren't I?
Terminator 2 is 91, isn't it?
And this is 1990.
Yeah, is it just after?
So he's sort of
filming at the same time.
Yeah, imagine that. In fact, I think he was. There's something on IMDb trivia that he flew back and forth between them.
Oh, wow.
I mean, so, you know, he's famous at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not Arnie of the mid-90s.
Right.
Where, you know, he's like Dwayne The Rock Johnson after he left the WWE, but not, you know, Black Adam and Fast and Furious famous. Do you know what I mean? Thing for me as well, those scores, obviously some of them will have come in from the time, but some of them as well, people are being mean about this. For me, that's criminally underrated.
I think people are missing, they're just missing the good in it and all the ways in which it is good, which is, yeah, I don't know, because we both agree, we can't both be wrong, can we?
When would we ever be wrong?
Yeah, never. You're right. No, you're right. So yeah, Kindergarten Cop, definitely, definitely underrated.
Well, there we go. Kindergarten Cop for us. For me, criminally underrated. For Alice, the same? Are we saying the same?
I'm with you. I'm right
criminally
there with you.
Crunderated. It is crunderated. But anyway, thank you very much for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode. If you'd like to get in touch with us in the meantime, the email address is filmsandthatpod@gmail.com. We're on all the social medias. If you just search for Just Films and That, you'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, X, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube as well. We're on there. We're on the television as well, aren't we, Alice?
We are indeed. Every Friday from 6 p.m. you can find us on the local TV network. That means that if you live in Birmingham, Bristol, Leeds, Liverpool or the northeast of England, you can find us on Channel 7 on Freeview. Or if you live in North Wales or South Wales, you can find us on Channel 8 on Freeview. I'm also uploading all the videos to Daily Motion, so if you head on over there, type in Just Films and That, you'll be able to see exactly what it is we're up to.
Yes, lots of ways to see us, hear us, get in touch with us, and thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next week. It's goodbye from me. Cheerio!
Bye!
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.